Oh my god. Oh my god. Hey, young world.
What's good?
This is Mark.
And I'm Zoe.
And if you forgot about us, we are so sorry.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man. How you doing?
Come on,
you
come
good?
On.
I know you like
yeah,
that.
Good. I'm doing good. Back.
I know you like that.
How long you been back?
See the girls in the club, they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this style for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me.
I know you guys didn't forget about us, but we said we're gonna come back on the 12th of December.
Yep.
And I fell ill. I was super sick. And Zoe saved my life. Praise the Lord. And so we are finally back.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you so much, boo. We are so happy to be back. And when we left off, we had talked about all of the music that had taken place in 2016. Actually, we didn't talk about it, but we did share on our social media our countdown list, our best of list for the end of the year, which was so fun for us, but so hard because... Even as trash as 2016 was, even as trash as it was, the music was flawless.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing.
Yep. A lot of it, what came out, I enjoyed. So.
Yeah. What did you, I mean, we talked about this a little bit on the videos that we released, but in picking the albums, how did you, like, did you realize, okay, this is something, like, special? Like, this is a special year. Because in 2015, I don't even think, even though we weren't doing Pass Me the Ox, I don't think I had 10 best albums of 2015.
No, I agree. It was very, I feel like I got more interested in music as 2016 approached. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we got a lot from a lot of big artists, like B,
of course.
Drake, Chance, like Kanye. Like, you know, all the anticipation was building up for these moments, so... I feel like it was a great year for music as opposed to how trash everything else was.
I mean, I do think, remember 2014, I don't know why 2014 feels like really good to me. I feel like 2014 was good. I just remember like, I mean, I don't remember too much, but I think that's LaKaylee.
Oh,
that
yes.
we were dealing with.
Yeah, 2014 was good.
That was the whole Beyonce-ness and... Nicki and like all of that stuff that was going on, and it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad. 2013 was good too.
Yeah.
For some reason, I cannot recall any great stuff that happened in 2015. And y'all can share us, please.
The
us.
Internet. Was
oh, that
2014.
Yes. No, the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was it 2014?
I'm gonna Google it.
I think it was 2014, or it could have been earlier 2015. Actually, yes. As well as Jasmine Sullivan happened during that year. And, like, a couple things happened, but it wasn't a standout year.
Yeah.
In the way that, like, 96 is. Because you know 96 is, like, the god.
2015.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
96 is the god.
Yeah. No,
you know what
I feel
like
if you know if you
right.
know 96 music,
right.
you're like...
It's 96. I mean, and here we are 20 years later. I don't even know if we talked about 96. Did we talk about 96?
Not really.
If we did, y'all just gonna have to forgive us because 96 was flawless. D'Angelo, Jay, I mean, Badu. Like, it was just so...
Everybody that you pretty much loved in
Maxwell,
the 90s, yeah, came out. I feel like everybody you loved in the 90s came out with an album in 96.
It was, I mean, that's probably very, very, very true. It was just flawless.
Biggie passed.
Yeah.
96, okay.
Yeah, he died. But... I mean, it was an incredible year for music, and I feel like 2016 kind of had that little, you know,
oh, okay.
20-year vibe. I don't know if that was the whole...
No, it's true, because you've seen how many 20-year anniversaries stuff had in 2016.
Seriously.
So it was a good year for me.
I still can't even grasp the whole idea of the 90s being 20 years ago, but I mean, it really is.
I mean,
you are, what, 30 now? So you know. So you know.
I feel
it's
like
it's Zoe's birthday, guys.
Oh, yes. Today as we
Happy
record.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Yes, vocal. No, seriously, I so enjoyed the year in music of 2016, and we had that list. And right after, the Grammy nominations were announced, and everybody knows that the Grammys is the biggest night in music.
Yeah.
Of course, there were some not so surprising things, and then there were some things that were just like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, I mean, among the not surprising things, I feel like...
We knew Drake was going to get...
Some noms.
Nominations. And a lot of people felt like Drake didn't deserve the nominations, which, in a way, I can... A lot of people didn't like the album, but then at the same time, if you think about it, he had so many singles on this album. So, I mean, One Dance, Controller, even the B-sides, if you want to call it B-sides, were still
banging.
I mean,
there are a lot of B-sides and C-sides on the album.
We can go all the way through the alphabet.
Okay.
But he did receive the most streams within 2016 or ever, actually, right?
I mean, he did. I believe that would be factual. I think he's bringing a popularity back to streaming because a lot of artists... around 2012 and 2013, et cetera, were actually rebelling against streaming. And so, like, you have Beyonce, who's actually kind of still rebelling against streaming if it weren't for Tidal. But Adele, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And so these huge artists were actually rebelling against streaming, saying they did not want their product to actually be streamed. And then you have the likes of Drake and Chance the Rapper, whose careers...
And Kanye.
And Kanye, too, yeah. Mm-hmm. Whose careers are really... and Frank, whose careers are thriving because of streaming. And so I think this probably was a the year. I mean, I think that literally a lot of like music experts deemed 2016 the year of streaming, actually, just because of the popularity of it, and it actually eclipsing for the first time purchases, like downloads and physical discs.
I can see that because a lot of people, like you said, were opposed to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like now most artists that were like, oh, I'm not putting my album on for free. Like, you know how, and I mean, it made sense because people were just literally stealing the music.
Yeah.
But now I think that we have more knowledge about what's going on with it and how... The money's getting divvied up a little bit, so I guess people aren't as opposed to it. And it's like, it does bring you closer to your friend, your fans. Like, we have direct access to your music at all times, and it's like, you don't have to. You can easily account for who's listening, where they're listening. Right. I mean,
I think it helped. That criticism helped a lot because streaming got better.
Yeah, definitely.
It wasn't perfect when it was happening.
No.
It got so much better, and
like,
I think
remember
it
Magna Carta?
Diverse. Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, it got more diverse. Spotify had a monopoly on the whole streaming game. And a lot of people felt like they were not paying adequately. The royalties were subpar. And so a lot of people were just like, this is not okay. That was in response. You got things like Tidal and things like Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
And you got artists really being involved in... really putting product that would make people want streaming. So all of the exclusives on each of these profiles, not profiles, speaking in work language, on each of these platforms. Of course, Tidal had billions of exclusives, including exclusive concerts, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But just artists just being vulnerable, giving something extra in a streaming format that maybe they would have done back in the day on, like... in the basement or with Oprah or Behind the Music, which we don't have anymore.
Yep.
There's no Behind the Music. There's no making the video anymore. There's none of that stuff.
It's crazy how you bring that up because I was on YouTube, like, looking at, like, Behind the Music.
Yeah.
Like, I think I watched a Lil' Kim, like, Behind the Music, even though, like, I know, like, her life story.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's like, we don't have those things anymore unless, like, the artist... their social media has become that kind of Behind the Music or like Snapchat. Like, you know, you wouldn't see half of the stuff you see your favorite artist doing if it wasn't for those things.
No,
so
definitely.
It's, 2016
a
did.
Day in the life.
Yeah.
All of those things.
Right.
That doesn't exist.
No.
And so, I mean, so I think that they answered streaming platforms answered that, especially Tidal, even though it is not as popular as an Apple Music or Spotify, having the artists that they have, Rihanna and Kanye and Deadmau5 and Madonna and Nicki and like all of these people that have huge fan bases, putting product out there really helped bring people into this mode of, okay, this is something that is good, that is not, you can't buy it on iTunes, you know what I mean? You can't get the Mary J. Blige interview with Hillary Clinton on, you know, on YouTube, you know what I mean? Like, it's an Apple Music thing.
Right, yeah.
So, no shade at all, no shade, because I know Zoe Snicker.
Sorry, I can't.
But yes, I really do feel like streaming became something that was, it's normalized now, just as walking down the street and looking down at your phone is normalized. I mean, people don't even think about it. Taking selfies in public, people don't think about streaming as being something subpar or something that is not supporting the artist. Because I think that was one of the biggest arguments back in the day. It's like, oh, you're not buying it? Oh, you gonna stream it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, even we still have that to this day where Drake's father was like yelling at and made a post on Instagram like, to all my friends that did not buy my single, you can unfriend me now. Like, Drake's, he really dead? Was going off. Yes. So you can see the difference in the generations.
Please,
like,
tell us Drake dad's at.
Where I need to. I feel like it's Graham. It's what's his last name?
But while you're doing that, I mean, so I think he certainly has some successes this year. I mean, he did have the best-selling album in the U.S.
The real Dennis G.
There y'all go. Drake had the best-selling album in the United States, of course, with Sales Plus Streaming as well, in 2016. And so there is some credence to the Grammys choosing it for the categories that it chose it for, whether it's Album of the Year, you know, Best Rap Album, whatever. I think, I mean, before I give any criticism for Drake's work, I do think that this is a sign of change for the Grammys to continue to include rap music in its larger categories. I mean, Kendrick Lamar, of course, that was a hype thing. And we already talked about the history of it, and Lauryn Hill first bringing it to, bringing it home as having a hip-hop album that was also the album of the year. But I think overall, just the Grammys and a lot of platforms, because you also had Tupac being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he, as I said, once again, this is not brand new. He's like the sixth person ever. But it's not abnormal for Drake to be alongside Adele and alongside Justin Bieber and alongside Beyonce and someone else whom I've never heard of in the Album of the Year category. And so I think that's remarkable.
I think, like you said, I feel like it's a reflection of how broad music is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just these four categories or five categories. And people listen to so much. And because of streaming, that we have access to these different genres. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a step in the right direction, being that you're at the Grammy Committee is like listening to different things, and that they can, like, it won't just be, we won't always assume that Beyonce is gonna win, or we always assume that Drake is gonna win. I mean, even before this, we thought Beyonce was gonna win, and she didn't. I mean, I think that the Grammys is headed in a great direction in terms of that. Like,
I think so. I mean, it certainly has its, I think most of the academies, the larger ones, whether it's, you know, the Academy of Motion Pictures, like the Oscars and stuff, or the Grammys, or the Golden Globes, which just took place last night, they can be a little staunch and a little bit conservative in how they award and really admire work that is put out. I mean, the Grammys is notorious for being like, oh, this is not really, you know, this is not really Grammy worthy. Maybe you can get an AMA, okay, or maybe you can get a Billboard Award, okay, but this is not Grammy's appropriate. I mean, it is one of the more conservative academies, but I think that as more people become a part of the academy, as it perhaps gets younger, I don't really know the demographic breakdown of it, but I do see that it is becoming younger and more with the times. It's not so caught up in, I mean, because Adele is clearly Grammy fodder. Like, that, they will eat Adele up. They, I mean, that's just, that is a Grammy album. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's along the lines of, you know, a Barbra Streisand and Natalie Cole. I mean, right, just people who are making just pop vocal mm-hmm. work. But I think they are broadening their horizons to be with the times and to say, okay, this is what the music community, as far as consumers, are enjoying. Mm-hmm. And so we should respect that.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I mean,
if not, I'm going to be rapping Fife. I don't need a statue to tell me how nice I am.
I mean, absolutely. And we have to keep that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we say every year, but it really does have to be legit. Of course, I would want, for this category in particular, I do think that Beyonce deserves that title.
Absolutely.
Of all of them. I mean, it is the highest rated album out of them all, probably of the year. It is groundbreaking, just as the previous work was. And I just think that is only fair. Of course, I never know what the Grammys make their decisions based
me
off
neither.
Of.
Me neither. And you know. Absolutely.
But we'll see whether or not that's the case. But I think that was the album of the year one was probably a little more like, okay, yeah, clearly these are the people who are going to be nominated.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were shocked that Rihanna did not receive much. I think she was nominated for Work as Record of the Year, but mm-hmm. beyond that, I don't know how many other nominations she received. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to ask you, what is the difference between Record and Song of the Year?
Song is for writing.
Okay.
And Record is for how it sounds. So.
Oh, okay.
And sort of like we discussed together when people were like, oh, well, Beyonce doesn't, you know, write anything, but that's not the end of the song. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You're just writing a lyric.
Yeah.
That's a great part, and you should be awarded for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how the song sounds.
Exactly.
It's not the final product. So it honors both of them, and both she and Adele are nominated for Record and for Song.
Okay.
So it's like a double honor for that. I mean, and I'm sure there are others in that category who received both Record and Song, but he's just like, I don't know,
but I do look forward to seeing that and seeing who receives it, because
yep.
I mean, one, if Beyonce's nominated at the Grammys, I'm assuming she's gonna show up.
Yeah,
because most
she would always show up.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, like, at least we know it's gonna be a great show.
Yeah,
because we don't, I mean, not saying that she has to actually sing, but everybody's going to be on their P's and Q's.
I think so. I think that she will perform. I mean, the Grammys always, they never have a problem booking people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, let's be clear. You know what I mean? If the Grammys say, can you perform, because it's the Grammys.
Right.
They don't have a problem booking people, but I do think that they try to highlight those people in the larger categories
mm-hmm.
To try to say why they are nominated, and because they obviously are popular, not only with the Academy, but with consumers.
Right.
So I think Adele will probably perform as well. Perhaps Drake will perform.
Definitely.
Maybe even Gaga will perform. Who knows who's going to perform.
That album?
Oh, I mean, for promo reasons. Isn't she performing at Super Bowl?
Is she?
I believe so. I think so. I mean, I could be wrong. Y'all tell us. Why can't y'all tell us? No, let the people tell us. They can tell us. No, you
know,
can look
right?
it up. Maybe she might do it for promo.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a lot of stuff going on. I have not heard her album ever.
Yeah, I've heard that one song, I think. But I couldn't tell you ACB,
yeah,
Boo.
I don't know.
What she was singing.
I don't know her. As Mariah would say.
I don't know her.
I just don't.
I've never heard of her.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about Chance being nominated? Because you loved Chance. You knew Chance before I knew Chance, because I thought when people were saying Chance the Rapper, they was talking about Chance and Real. I did.
I'm so proud of Chance the Rapper. I did listen to him since Acid Rap, like I've said before. And it's just crazy to see the transition. Because, I mean, I'm not personal friends with him, but it's beautiful to see. Like
I am.
How he transcended in this hip-hop game. Like, I mean, nobody really thought, like, oh, Chance was trash. But it's just, like, it's amazing to see how successful he has been and how he's still able to work so freely and how impactful his album mixtape has been this whole year. Like, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing Chance or seeing Chance. He was on, you know, when you made to SNL, all the late night shows runs. It's like, you have an amazing talent, and I'm just so happy, and it warms my heart that he's actually getting the recognition for this talent. Like, and he's paved the way for a lot of people
In Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah. Definitely putting Chicago back on the map in terms of music and hip-hop and soul and gospel. And I feel like Chance even made it a little more okay to have gospel music in your rap songs, but we spoke about that.
Or even rapping your gospel songs, because I feel like it's a gospel album. Really?
It really is.
Even like Kanye said that his was.
Which, that was disappointing because it wasn't. Only one song.
Right. But, no, I mean, I'm really happy for him. I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see that Anderson .Paak is also his due. He's also nominated for Best New Artist.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved, and we both included him on our list as well, so that was great. King,
yes, proud, so proud of them, because remember, you told me about them, and then I was just like, Heavenly Voices, when is this album coming out?
And it came out the next year. Right? Yeah. But they are nominated in Best Urban Contemporary Album, which is probably the best category at the Grammys.
Yeah.
In that category, Beyonce is also in the category as well.
Wow.
And Anderson .Paak is in that category.
Woo!
And I think it's just going to be great, I guess. Like, I'm just nervous. I don't care who wins. I'm happy for every last one of them. But it's great to see the people who have been working behind the scenes really come to the light and be a part of the industry and not just be, like, underground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that, and I think this is just the beginning for them. I am not just all happy, though. I am so upset as well because
Tell them.
Solange not getting a seat at the table.
Okay. She literally made the whole album about it, but nope.
Solange got one nomination. Like one.
Is it because of the time? Or did she make it just in time?
She literally made it, like, the day before submissions. Like, literally, like, the day before. And don't get me wrong, they nommed Cranes in the Sky, which is amazing. And I don't know all of the details. I don't know if she didn't submit the records. I don't know if her label... I don't know what went wrong. But I feel like she should have had five at the least. At the very least. It was one of my absolute favorite albums, not just of the year, but of all time.
Yeah, I agree. In my lifetime.
And I was just disappointed. But, I mean, as I said, it is important to just continue remembering that it's not just accolades that make something great. Like, it's not just recognition from industry people or from, you know, white validation. It's not just that. But I am disappointed because I know that will be something that she would hold dear.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why they need us on the committee, like, tomorrow. But I was disappointed as well because, honestly, you could not tell me. First off, people underestimated Solange so much, so it's funny how you can't disregard the weight of how she was, like, almost like an MVP, like, most improved, like, she, everybody knew about, listened or checked for Solange's music this year, you know what I'm saying?
No, seriously.
it brought her back to the map. And it's not even like she just came back with like a stunt or a publicity stunt or anything. Like, it was through the music that she actually connected with more people. Yeah. And made her art actually was a testimony to her genius. Like, I don't understand how you can just give that one nomination for Cranes in the Sky. Like,
which is clear. I personally think it's just nominated for Record of the Year.
If they play Cranes in the Sky, when would you have thought they was going to play Cranes in the Sky in the club?
I don't know, but you know, be hyped.
I would have been there, but it's just like, they actually play it in the club. Yeah. So it's not, come on now.
It is a fantastic song, and I think it deserves better. I'm hoping that it receives better at the VMAs, at BET Awards, et cetera, that they are not only concerned with like charting success, but with like sound and value and quality of the record itself, just because it was so well done. And I just think it deserved more. And I honestly don't think that she is like going to stop working because of it, but I wish it were better. I wish that there were more acknowledgement of her genius, because some of the people who were nominated, if we're talking about Bieber, whose record I did not hear, so I'm not going to shade him, but I highly doubt it was better than A Seat at the Table. I mean, if I'm wrong, at me, but I highly doubt that Justin Bieber's album that I did not hear was better than A Seat at the Table. And I just also don't
think
that... What
album? Purpose?
It's called Purpose, yeah. You know what?
I've seen it written down.
You know it?
No, I don't know her, but I don't even remember hearing any Justin Bieber. Surprisingly, I didn't really hear any Justin Bieber this year. Was Sorry on this album?
Probably. I mean, I don't know anything that happened with Justin Bieber's life. But I just know that Solange's was better. And I mean, to be honest, that's bold because I have not heard it. I honestly have not. But just based on life, I can assure you.
Okay. This had Sorry was on, yes. So Purpose came out in 2015. Sorry was on there. Love Yourself. No Sense. I do like that No Sense song, but I don't know the rest of this music on here, so I can't judge because I only heard like 3 songs. So
I can judge.
Yeah, but I could agree that Solange was definitely better than Justin Bieber. But you know,
like, there's a privilege. We went to this panel for the one and only Miss Lauryn Hill. Yes. It was reviewing her highly regarded and highly confrontational and disregarded work, Unplugged 2.0.
The best.
It is amazing. And it was such a great talk.
Yeah, it was literally like me, Mark and I were sitting there like, we are commenting back to the panelists. And they were all great. They had beautiful perspectives of the album, yeah, which I appreciated. And it was pretty much like, pass me the aux, but on the panel.
Yeah, I think it was affirming.
Yeah.
Especially as we're talking about Solange and as we're talking about the will of the people and, you know, just the things not getting the credit it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
It was affirming for the work that we do. And being able to have a voice to say Solange was robbed.
Yeah.
I mean, because who's going to say it if we don't say it? You know what I mean?
Us. We were solo.
I mean, and I don't mean just you and I. I mean, like, people, the culture, black people, black culture, the people who are, who feel something from it because it didn't speak to everybody purposely.
Oh, right. I was going to say that.
And so who's going to say this deserved better if not for us? And I really think that in them having that panel 14 years later, really said a lot about the importance of safeguarding the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people will, I think, look to whether or not that album won any Grammys, or whether or not Britney Spears was inspired by it. Or, I mean, not literally. Don't you about to fight?
I'm like, Britney.
I mean, whether or not somebody was inspired by it, whether or not people are going to cite it as they cite Full Moon, or as they cite Everlasting Life, or as they cite Thriller.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because it's like, you want it to have all the accolades to
support
that this is literally a work of art.
Yeah.
And for it to be like snubbed of its credibility in that way is kind of, it's annoying, because literally is what she's talking about in the album.
Yeah.
Like, literally. And then it's just like, for her to have put so much work in, for everyone to have seen and appreciated it, and in the time that it came out in, it's like, if it's not us talking about it, who else is going to talk about it?
Nobody.
Especially people who can't relate.
Yeah, I mean, that really is what it comes down to. And things are a little different now. I think people do have more diverse staff who can actually take something that is... And I don't think things should just be familiar for people to dissect it, but when it is... from a certain place in culture that you're not familiar with, you can't critique it in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, you can't really listen to this work and be like, okay, yeah, Lauryn Hill is just flawless.
Very true.
You know what
right.
I mean? It's just like, it wasn't a pop record. It wasn't. I don't think it was any more conscious than Miss Education. Although Miss Education had bops. But the bops, I mean, they were not like, if you're talking about Superstar, if you're talking about Final Hour, or even Doo-Wop That Thing, or even Zion. She's like, yeah, they wanted me to give you up for abortion, but I knew the Lord was like... It wasn't a complete shift.
And that's what I was going to say. Even, like, now thinking of the tracks on OC, it's like, actually, the records are pretty... From my perspective, they're a little more radio friendly than
2.0.
Than Unplugged 2.0, then Miss Education, like, and it's still not getting all the radio play it needs. But I mean, that's another story. You know, we don't depend on radio.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing Solange doesn't. I don't know if she's had a single besides those first two.
That's what I'm saying. But you can listen to, if you think about it, if you was listening to, like, I don't know, maybe it's just my taste. I don't know. Maybe
sure.
I mess up.
What's the word?
No, because I love, you know, I love Borderline. I love,
Borderline too.
What else is on there? Scales. Like, I love all those songs, but, I mean.
Scales, they would not put on the
radio.
I mean,
I was going to say Scales is definitely not
a radio
record.
I wouldn't even listen to it. I'd be like, bye. Yeah. I mean, she's not alone. A lot of people aren't. I mean, her big sister did not go radio this year either.
Yeah.
I mean, she released Sorry, but that was about it. She just put Formation on YouTube after it was Grammy nominated. So, seriously, like, it wasn't on YouTube.
Right, I remember.
Who
you
does this?
You can't find it nowhere else.
Who does this?
Me.
But, I mean, maybe people are rebelling. Rebel. Come on, Lauren. See, Lauren is everything.
Yeah.
But I do think, I think this is important, and we discussed this in full for those of you who are, like, just becoming familiar with us. We discussed more of this concept in our Bring Back R&B, which happened. Thank us. I'm joking.
Okay.
No, seriously. We discussed this in Bring Back R&B, just how important it is for us to love what we love and love it without the need for validation from mainstream culture. Like, that's just it.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of artists...
Hour.
I think a lot of people are making music not caring about that. And I think that's the most... It's a freeing feeling, and I appreciate that because I want to listen to your uninhibited...
Right.
Music and art.
Yeah.
take us back, Ree. Ree.
I'm tired, bro.
She knew Granny's. Granny's. She did that riff one day. It was like, yes.
come on and moan. The devil can't hear you when you moan. That's what that's what my grandmama said.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad that we're finally back, though.
Me too.
You know, I feel like the whole music industry took a hiatus around the same time. So, I mean, I know you guys wasn't missing us that much because y'all wasn't in our mentions. Like, guys, where are you? So, I'm just hoping y'all was just catching up on old episodes.
Of
just,
course.
You know.
Yes. Follow us on
PMTA Podcast.
Yes. Instagram, Facebook, Twitters. And I'm going to find out the Tumblr password.
I sent it to you.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, we got to cut that part out. All right, y'all. Bye.
Bye.
And we back. 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 And we back.